Hello, this is Charles Shepard of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, bringing you another chapter of American Stories, the behind-the-scenes look into America's history of art and culture. Today's story is about Roy DeForest, the exuberant and sometimes outrageous pioneer of the California funk art movement that began in the 1960s. Roy was born during the Great Depression, the son of migrant farm workers who crisscrossed the country looking for work. Despite the lack of a real home base until he was 10, Roy was a reasonable student who did well enough in his teen years to get accepted at Yakima Junior College in Yakima, Washington, where he received an associate degree in math and humanities. Yakima had no real art program, so Roy moved on to pursue his BFA in art at California School of Fine Arts in San Francisco, and then his master's degree in painting at San Francisco State University 4 years later. After graduation, Roy taught part-time at several schools before being asked to join the University of California, Davis as a lecturer in 1965. His quirky style, which was based on counterculture thinking influenced by anti-art attitude that was reminiscent of the Dadaists, rapidly developed a following among his students. They flocked to his classes, and he was promoted to assistant professor in 1967, rising to full professorship in 1974. By this point, Roy had established a national reputation as a West Coast painter. His style, marked by wit, became known as California funk, a classification that Roy largely disliked, mostly because he felt it boxed him in. Roy was a man with a good sense of humor and a great sense of irony, recalls fellow artist Wayne Thiebaud, a professor emeritus at UC Davis and longtime colleague. He wasn't interested in any of the kind of precociousness, prestige, or any of that nonsense that other artists followed. He pursued his work with real genuineness, regardless of what others thought. Roy's comic-like patchwork style, focusing on dogs, men in hats and headdresses, and a range of supernatural creatures that populated his imagination. Fellow art professor Harvey Himmelfarb said that the qualities that made Roy an exceptional artist were the very same that made him an exceptional teacher. In his art and his teaching, he was able to address things that were very, very difficult in ways that people could stop and hear them, accept and learn from them. He was full of whimsy, and at the same time, he was profound. He was funny, and yet at the same time, he was deadly serious. He was quite an extraordinary human being. The UC Davis Art Department was the perfect environment. The UC Davis Art Department was the perfect environment for Roy. The department in the 60s and the 70s was dedicated to the notion that there are lots of ways to make art, and all of them are cool. It was a wholly different planet from the restrictive, minimalist-dominated world back east. The faculty was made up, very deliberately, of artists who were as different from each other as possible. Their approaches differed, their ideas differ, and their thoughts about what were the best possible ways to get to a certain kind of art were wildly different. Let's do that over again. It was a wholly different planet from the restrictive, minimalist-dominated world back east. The faculty was made up, very deliberately, of artists who were as different from each other as possible in their ideas about art and their approaches to art, and who were the best possible representatives of a particular way to make art. The idea was to expose students to as many ways as possible to making art and let them find their own path. It was an incredibly enriching experience, and Roy was an absolutely major contributor. Roy taught full-time on the Davis faculty until the summer of 1982. From that point forward, he taught part-time for another 10 years, when he finally retired with the title of Professor Emeritus. He continued to work daily in his studio, and his work was exhibited throughout the United States, most prominently showcased in an exhibit that opened in 1984 at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, and then moved in 1985 to the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York City. Realizing a lifelong ambition, Roy and his wife Gloria roamed the world in their retirement, and their travels fueled even more new images for this great champion of the imagination. According to his longtime artist friend, John Buck, Roy was the king of his own vision and never looked back or over his shoulders to see what anybody else was doing. His fiercely independent spirit and raw talent made him one of the most important artists of his generation. Roy's work will continue to influence painting and sculpture for years to come. He will always be remembered as an artist, a teacher, and a friend. Thank you for joining me, Charles Shepherd, for this week's program. Please join me again next week for another episode of American Stories on NIPR.
Great.
All right. Shorter, I think.
Good. No.
Aim for that 750.
That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, I